Harper Audio presents The Girl of Fire and Thorns by Rae Carson, narrated by Jennifer Iketa and directed by Shane O'Connell. Part 1. Chapter 1. Prayer candles flicker in my bedroom. The Scriptura Sancta lies discarded, pages crumpled on my bed. Bruises mark my knees from kneeling on the tiles, and the godstone in my navel throbs. I have been praying, no, begging, that King Alejandro de Vega, my future husband, will be ugly and old and fat. Today is the day of my wedding. It's also my 16th birthday. I usually avoid mirrors, but the day is momentous enough that I risk a look. I can't see very well. The lead glass ripples, my head aches, and I'm dizzy from hunger. But even blurred, the wedding terno is beautiful, made of silk like water with tiny glass beads that shimmer when I move. Embroidered roses circle the hem and the flared cuffs of my sleeves. It's a masterpiece, given its rushed stitching. But I know the terno's beauty will be much diminished when buttoned. I sigh and motion for help. Nurse Jimena and Lady Aniaxi creep toward me, armed with button hooks and apologetic smiles. "Take a deep breath, my sky," Jimena instructs. "Now let it out. All of it, love." I push air from my lungs, push and push until my head swims. The ladies jerk and loop with their flashing hooks. The gown tightens. The bodice in the mirror puckers. It digs into my skin just above my hips. A jagged pain shoots up my side, like the stitch I get walking up the stairs. "Almost there, Elisa," Aniaxi assures me, but I have a sickening hunch that when I next inhale, the gown's grip on my lungs will prove deadly. I want to rip it off. I want not to get married. "Done," they announce together, and step back, one on each side, to admire their handiwork. "What do you think?" Aniaxi asks in a tiny, faltering voice. The terno only allows quick, shallow breaths. "I think..." I stare woozily at my breasts. The neckline presses a fleshy furrow into my skin. "4?" I giggle anxiously. "4 breasts." My nurse gets a funny, choking look on her face. When my breasts overcame my chest last year, Jimena had been the one to assure me men would find them irresistible. "It's a beautiful gown," Aniaxi says, looking pointedly at the skirt. I shake my head. "I am a sausage," I gasp. "A big, bloated sausage in a white silk casing." I want to cry or laugh. It's hard to decide. Laughter nearly wins out, but my two ladies surround me, wrinkled, graying mother hens clucking sympathy and assurance. "No, no, you're a lovely bride," Aniaxi says. "You've had another growth spurt is all, and such beautiful eyes. King Alejandro won't notice if the terno is a bit snug." So I cry, because I cannot bear sympathy, and because Jimena won't look me in the eye when Aniaxi speaks her kindly false words. After a moment, though, the tears are because I don't want to wear the terno at all. While I gulp and heave, Aniaxi kisses the top of my head and Jimena wipes at my tears. Crying requires breath, great heaping buckets of it. The silk strains, the puckers bite into my waist, the fabric rips. Crystal buttons tinkle against the glazed floor as air rushes into my famished lungs. My stomach responds with an angry growl. My ladies drop to the floor and run their fingers through the hair of sheepskin rugs, along the crevices between clay tiles, seeking the liberated buttons. "I need another week," Jimena mutters from the floor. "Just 1 week to fit you properly. A royal wedding requires some notice." It frightens me too, the suddenness of it all. The bodice is loose enough now that I can reach back and undo the remaining buttons by myself. I shrug my arms from the sleeves and start to tug the gown below my hips, but the fabric rips again, so I pull it over my head instead. I toss the gown aside, not caring when the skirt misses my bed and crumples onto the floor. I pull on a rough woolen robe. It scratches my skin, but it's huge and comfortingly shapeless. I turn my back on the ladies scavenging and go downstairs to the kitchens. If my gown isn't going to fit anyway, I might as well soothe my pounding head and rumbling stomach with a warm pastry. My older sister, Juana Elodia, looks up when I enter. I expect her to wish me a happy birthday, at least, but she just scowls at my robe. She sits on the hearth ledge, her back against the curving oven. Her legs are elegantly crossed, and she swings a slender ankle back and forth while she nibbles on her bread. Why is she not the one getting married today?